We're going to read from the verse 31. Before we turn there, or before we start reading, I just wanted to give you the backdrop. Right before what we're going to read is basically the Last Supper. This is where Jesus was talking about the betrayal that would happen with his disciples. So let's start reading. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you that this very night, before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." All the disciples said the same thing too. Now let's skip down to verse 47. While he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who came from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he who was betraying him gave them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him." Immediately Judas went to Jesus and said, "Hail, Rabbi," and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you have come for." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached and drew out his sword and struck the slave of the priest, high priest, and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once put on my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? How then will the scriptures be fulfilled which say that it must happen this way?" At that time Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would against a robber? Every day I used to sit in the temple teaching and you did not seize me." Amen. Now I just wanted to talk a little bit about Peter and how when he said that he was going to die with Jesus, I believe that he meant it. I believe that he was not a coward, as we all may say. I mean, in the text we just read, we know that Judas came with a multitude or cohort of people. They were armed, and this included Roman soldiers armed with swords, temple guards armed with staves and clubs. So the text also told us that they traveled most likely overnight because they were holding onto lanterns and torches, which pretty much meant that this was a premeditated attack or arrest, and they've been waiting for this opportunity for a very long time. Therefore, my conclusion is that they probably would attack if necessary. They would probably fight if necessary. So when Peter drew his sword to attack one of the people in the group, I believe he was really risking his life. And he was basically declaring war to the other side. And therefore, I think that he was ready to die. So in the text, you know, we read, what was wrong with Peter? Let's take a look at what was wrong with him and why God interfered. So Peter was operating with raw passion that was not guided by God. He was passionate and he loved Jesus, but he was also impulsive, irrational, and was moving out of raw passion. This could have led to his physical death. No matter how pure our motives are, and even if what we are doing are good, it may not be God's will. It is important to allow God to move and learn to be patient. We should not impose our own conclusion and solution to the situation instead of having God direct us through. So in Peter's case, if the Lord did not interfere to stop him, we would have lost one of the world's greatest church builder, an evangelist, and part of the New Testament would not have been written. I mean, when you come to think about it, the first time Peter ever preached at the Pentecost, 3,000 believed. And the second time he preached, 2,000 came and were added into the number. So if it wasn't for God's grace, he would not have been able to fulfill his destiny and his calling. Another example is kind of like calling yourself into martyrdom in the name of Jesus. without first consulting God, asking him whether this is the way he wants us to die, whether he wants us to die in this manner at all, or whether there are other things in our lives that needs to be fulfilled. And I feel that sometimes we do that quite easily, maybe not to a point of martyrdom, but in the decisions and the judgment we choose for ourselves. And what happens is it may lead us to nowhere, and then we blame God. We complain of the sacrifices we have made with no fruit in return, and we have no joy and no hope. But if we listen to God and allow him to interfere, even if it doesn't make sense to us, or if it's countercultural, perhaps the outcome would be a life in abundance. Another thing that may be wrong with Peter was he had the wrong understanding of God, of Jesus and his purpose on this earth. Before the arrest, his disciples didn't really understand that Jesus had to die and be raised from the dead in order to save the world. Peter fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. It kind of shows that he didn't quite understand the importance of the night and Jesus' mission. And then in previous chapter, Peter answered Jesus correctly when he said, "You're the Messiah." But in his head, he still believed that he was coming to the earthly realm to be the Messiah to save and restore the earthly kingdom in an earthly manner. So he didn't understand also the nature of Jesus, which is love. And that is how he was going to save the world. So when he saw that Jesus was not here to fight, and then later on saw that he was being tortured, beaten, and ridiculed, Peter lost all confidence to a point in which he denied Christ three times. He lost faith. He was discouraged and hopeless. It's almost as if he died a spiritual death. Everything he had ever believed in was now over. When Jesus called him, he literally left everything. He dropped his net. He left his home. He went with Peter immediately. And then suddenly, can you imagine what might be going on in his head? Oh my gosh, you know, Jesus is not saving himself. How come Jesus is doing this? You know, he can just easily do something. What is he doing? And he's being tortured. And I believe in this sense, he may have died an emotional death too. So I have a few points. And the first one is, raw passion not guided by God, no matter how well-intentioned, could lead to physical, emotional, and spiritual death. You may be doing many things for the Lord, but are they done out of impulsion? Is that really God's will? Or is that what God wants for you? Or is it just something you think is good or is right to do? These things might just become an extra load of burden that is not yours to carry in the first place. While all these things are good, so don't get me wrong, they're good things, but I believe God is more interested in what is best for you. He wants you to walk in the calling and destiny he has for you. I hope that this morning we will allow God to search our hearts and let us know if we are acting under passion that is not guided by God. Because passion is like flame. It can die down very easily. And if we are fueling it with the wrong things, the fumes can be very toxic and sometimes poisonous too. I believe God doesn't doubt your love. He doesn't doubt your dedication to him. He knows you because he created you. But sometimes we can do less things to achieve greater outcomes. These are not shortcuts, but God-directed steps. And the second point is, do not judge your situation with what you see. When Jesus interferes, it may seem dire. Shortly after Jesus was taken captive, Peter denied Christ. All his disciples scattered and left him. Peter probably thought that he was alone and that the Messiah could not save him or can't do what he claimed he would do to save the world. But take heart. Jesus is in the midst and is working things out for you. His ways are always are so different from our ways, and we may never understand it. But if we decide to believe that he had indeed left us during these times, then we are in it for faithlessness, fear, disappointment, and even possibly denying him. Have you ever thought that perhaps in the most silent times, God is working the hardest? Jesus suffered and bore the sins of the world. So while he didn't say anything, or he did not call on God to act at once, put at his disposal more than 12 legions of angels, or he didn't defend himself during the times when he was being tortured. He was actually saving the world at that moment. But the world saw it as silence, as weakness, and as failure. Therefore, it is very important to seek out the will of God in your life and follow it no matter what. But don't be impulsive and do everything and anything in the name of God unless that is the will of God. In order to do this, we need to know Him, to know His nature, His character, His love. We need to seek a relationship with Him so we will have a listening ear to do what He tells us to and satisfy Him. Ask for wisdom. Ask for directions. Go about whatever you have downloaded from the Lord with diligence and seek confirmation. Don't base your actions on emotions or misguided passion. It needs to be the will of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for you have a calling and you have a destiny in each and every one of us. You have a way to go about things, Lord, and I just pray right now that we would all learn to have a listening ear. We would learn to seek out your will when we seek out your face. I pray, Jesus, that you will teach us not to do things out of impulsion, that we will really come and spend time with you to know your will, to learn and know who you are, God, your character and your nature, God, so that we may continue to move forward and walk towards you and whatever you have in store for us, God, with confidence, with faith, with joy, with hope, and with assurance, God. I just want to thank you for this morning, and I pray, Lord, that you will continue to give us the strength and that you will come and search our hearts. We will open our hearts and allow you to search it and see whether there are things that we have been moving in that is just being guided out of our own emotions and our own analysis of the situation. We thank you, Lord, that you're always here with us, and we just want to lift up this time to you, God, in Jesus' name. Glory.
the glory.
Spend some time and pray for our community. Let's pray for everyone that is battling with cancer. let's lift up our brothers and sisters and just really ask the Lord to be with them. Let's spend some time lifting up people in our community and their family members that have illnesses and infirmities, but also that needs the Lord. Let's pray that they will also meet the Lord through the healing with God as well. Let's move on to the next prayer. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters and the family members with infirmities as well. Let's continue to contend for them and really declare and fight for them and, you know, come alongside them during this time and declare the healing of the Lord over them. Let's move to the next slide. Let's lift up our communities who are looking for jobs. Let's really pray for just an intimacy with the Lord and just seeking out the Lord's direction for them, and that there would be opening of doors and opportunities and favor upon them as well. Let's go into our Thursday mission focus. Let's pray for Cambodia, in particular grace and bloom the ministry. And also pray for P. Sophia. She is in Japan. So let's spend some time praying for them. Let's pray for our ministries, IP, The Well, and Cascade. Let's pray for God's anointing and protection over everyone that is serving in this area. Let's lift up Alpha as well. Let's pray for unity and protection for the core team members, the timing and operation for the new seasons. Let's also pray for the readying and the opening of hearts for those that will join Alpha. Let's pray for our education ministries, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU. Let's pray for all the volunteers and the teachers of these ministries, and also the children as well. Let's spend some time praying for the Thursday outreaches, SP Lights and Homie Outreach. Let's pray that God's love will be manifested through His hands and feet, through His representation here on earth. So let's pray for a love-filled outreach. Lastly, let's lift up our house church that is going on today, Robin Hood Elements, Austin West, and Olympic House Church. Let's pray for an amazing time of fellowship and just the presence of the Lord to be meeting with them tonight. Father, we just want to thank you for today. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for giving us this time in the morning to just come and worship you, to praise you. I pray, Lord Jesus, as we go about for on our day-to-day, going to our work and everything, Lord, that you will really watch over us and protect us. Give us strength and joy, Father, Lord God. Let us experience and encounter your joy today. And I pray, Lord, just for your hedge of protection over everyone here as well. Be with us today. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you. Please enjoy your time of prayer.